machine, as we all know, represents the hopes of many, 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 many young South Africans. We are hands on deck, and once again, thank you so much for this opportunity. I'll hand over to the CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I hope, Chair, the presentation can be seen. I'm just going to run quickly through it, Chair, in the interest of time. Chair, I thought it seems perhaps we start by providing a little bit of context of what we focused on during administration. The administration developed a risk-based strategy, which was informed by a detailed root cause analysis. The focus was also on releasing funds that were trapped into the system where students were not paid on time. We also, the administration also focused on introducing financial controls, improving governance, and developing and enforcing a policy of standard operating procedures, and also clamping down on fraud and corruption to the investigations that were done. It focused on strengthening collaboration with other funders with the view to improve targeting and assistance to previously excluded groups. It focused on insourcing the internal audit function. We now have a fully operational internal audit unit. Also, Chair, administration also established an independent audit and risk committee to strengthen oversight and improve accountability. Although, Chair, this was done after the end of the financial year, so we'll see that this is still reflected in the Auditor General's report. It also focused on the investigations that were specified in the terms of reference of the administrator. There have been steps that have been taken on those that were found to have done wrong. And also the focus was on leveraging relationships with the Department of Home Affairs, Social Development, and SARS. This, Chair, is information that is important in order for us to be able to assess whether applicants qualify for NSFAS or not. Chair, the audit outcome of the current year that was under review, 2019-2020, it was qualified with findings. The qualifications are in the, there was irregular expenditure that we did not disclose completely. There were contingent liabilities whose data changed and we were not able to account for these properly. We were not able to account properly for the payments that were made to pre-funders. We were not able to reconcile payments that we've made to institutions. And also, we had not done a reconciliation on amounts that were owing between us and institutions. And also, Chair, we could not account properly for the interest revenue. It is also to highlight, Chair, that our audit outcomes have been qualified for the last three financial periods. Chair, just to highlight our financial position, we have a total asset value of 19 billion and a net asset value of 15 billion as NSFAS. Chair, in terms of our financial performance, we have had a surplus of 4.4 billion. Chair, this surplus does not mean this money was not spent. It is money that was committed but not yet paid. So it doesn't represent money that is sitting within NSFAS that is unused. Chair, just to indicate that the cash and cash equivalents that we were sitting with at the end of the year were about 5.8 billion. This was also before we dispensed all the other expenses that were commitments. We did not incur any fruitless and wasteful expenditure in the current year under review. as highlighted also in the report of the Auditor General, we had incurred a number of irregular expenditures. Most of these, Chair, were expenditures that were carried forward from the previous years. Chair, just to get deep into the irregular expenditure, the category A of this expenditure represents the where the previous board had allocated or reallocated historic debt to fund first-time entrants for the 2016-2017 academic year. Of course, that time, Chair, the board had believed that this was going to be approved by National Treasury. However, National Treasury was not able to provide post facto approval for such expenditure to be incurred. Category B, Chair, relates to those expenditures that disbursements were done without following proper procedures. Chair, this also emanates from the non-compliance with laws and regulations, which report led to NSFAS being placed under administration. This also includes where allowances that were paid through our what we call the NSFAS wallet, and these were as a result of system lapses and lack of access controls in the system. Category C, Chair, Category C related to management fees that were we had appointed fund managers, and this was not in line with the Treasury regulation, so there was expenditure incurred in relation to the fees that were paid to those fund managers, and of course those contracts have since been terminated, Chair. In terms of our APP targets, it's important to note here, Chair, that we had initially, as an organization, recorded a performance of 76%. However, based on the audit and the fact that the Auditor General could not find some of the evidence, our overall performance was reduced to then 36%. Chair, the reasons for non-achievement of the performance indicators, as I've indicated, part of it was that whilst we had done some work, but we were not able to keep supporting documents to prove that the work was achieved. Other areas, Chair, where we underperformed relate to amounts that we were supposed to recover in relation to NSFAS debtors, but we are not able to recover in terms of according to target, given the number of issues, mainly economic issues of the previous debtors. But also confused those that had received. Is to look at other alternative mechanism to motivate or those that are owing for them to pay. Mm-hmm. Chair, also we had set a model to increase our capacity internally to supporting TVET colleges, and we were not able to, while we had started building this team, we ended up not building to the team to the capacity that we had envisaged. Chair, also one of the areas we did not perform, we had set ourselves to receiving an unqualified opinion, and also we did not achieve that target. And Chair, we had set a target also to implement our the ICT governance framework. We had wanted to be at a particular maturity level, and we have not been able to achieve that maturity level, Chair. As indicated, Chair, by the chairperson of the Accounting Authority, we have put together an action plan as management to addressing all these findings. All these findings are assigned to specific executives within the organization, and these are also monitored the standing agenda item in management's meeting, and we follow through on them. Chair, just to highlight that we have implemented already initiated implementation of these recommendations. There are 26 out of the 57 recommendations received that we were in progress with, 16 which are completed, and then there is 10 that at the time we prepared this presentation were not initiated, but also the 10 that were not initiated, these were housekeeping matters that we prioritized matters that were significant, and those matters that also had the potential to leading to negative audit outcomes. Chair, just to highlight the investigation that were conducted, there was an investigation where there were 6 areas we looked into under human resources. There were also disbursement related investigations, 5 items that we looked at there, and there were 2 other investigations, Chair. Chair, to highlight that the total for the investigations for the 2 periods, 2019 and 2020 combined, amounted to 6.9 million, and these were the investigations that were part of the terms of reference of the administrator. The outcomes of these investigations, we had there's one disciplinary process that is underway. One employee resigned pending the disciplinary process. There's been a dismissal. There's instances where warning letters were issued. And also overall, this has led to us changing our control environment and also instituting policies where there were gaps. Chair, I'm just going to maybe skip the detail of those investigations and go to the slide that is talking to the strategic steps we are taking to stabilize the organization. It is to restore all governance through the appointment of the board and the audit and risk committee, and also through the subcommittees of the board as indicated by the chairperson. We have initiated engagements with the Auditor General and the National Treasury on the interpretation. Most of the issues that led to our irregular expenditure were issues of differences in opinion. And so we have initiated the process to apply for condemnation. Where there were issues pertaining to legacy contracts, we've initiated addressing those issues. And also the Gazette that led to a material, an irregular expenditure in as far as the funding guidelines were not gazetted. Mm-hmm. That requirement has now been repealed. And of course, Chair, we are instituting consequence management where a staff member or somebody has led to an issue being a significant audit issue. We are also reviewing the organizational structure to ensure that it is fit for purpose, that it is also staffed with the appropriate skills. We have initiated the process to review the organizational processes and the policy framework. We have also developed an organizational compliance calendar to make sure that we are able to comply with all the required aspects of the legislation. And Chair, again, as indicated, we've started tracking our implementation and monitoring our implementation of audit findings. And this has been institutionalized through the organization. And also we report to this regularly to the board and the subcommittees of the board. Many of the problems that we face as NSFAS emanate from us having a legacy systems that are not fit for purpose. We've also initiated a process to acquire a new system. And also we've changed our ICT operational model to a crowdsourcing model, such that because we realize that we are not going to be able to have all the requisite skills in-house to be able to monitor all our systems. And where applicable, Chair, we have enlisted the help of specialists and subject matter experts. However, we are doing this with a requirement for skills transfer so that we don't have to continue rely on external consultants to help us. We've institutionalized risk management and compliance in the organization. And as far as our achievement of APPP targets, Chair, the board started by reviewing and management the strategic plan and the APP for the current year to make sure that it is smart. We've also in the process of acquiring an organizational performance management system so that we are able to monitor and manage performance. Chair, in the past, performance APP monitoring has been an event. What I mean by that is we would only look at this when it is the end of the quarter, but it was not something that we are monitoring on an ongoing basis, and we've started to institutionalize that. And the Chair, even our internal audit is now reviewing our performance and to make sure that all the numbers we report are indeed supported by a supporting document. And Chair, we've also begun to review our disbursement model to get to a point where we are able to provide certainty to students as to when will be the standard date to pay their allowances. And Chair, we are also continuing to engage with the department to inform a policy where it is necessary. Chair, thank you. I would then end my presentation here.
Right.
Well, thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to the CEO for the presentation and the chair of the board. My understanding is that the board is new. How long has the board been appointed?
Since the 1st of January.
Since the 1st of January 2021. That's right. It looks like looking into the audit report and the as well through your own confirmation, is that the board is facing an uphill battle based on the legacy issues. What do you think, Chair? In your priority would be a key focus area. Having looked into matters which have been somewhat raised previously, even by the administrator, who has since left the organization. Listening to what the CEO is emphasizing, the look of things is that there's been a similar musical when we met the administrator in the last time when we had to hear from NSFAS.
Should we respond, Chair?
Please do respond. Some asking questions.
Yes. The procedure, Babu Somyo is leading the hearing, so I won't be coming in. He will pose the question and respond. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair, once again. The CEO will come in as well. For us as the board, there are two areas which are of cardinal importance at this point in time, given our newness as well. The first one is to address the audit findings from the Auditor General. And as the CEO has reported earlier on, we're busy addressing that. And to a very great extent, the Auditor General is satisfied with the progress thus far, according to the information that we have. The second issue talks to some of the matters in the public domain, matters related to maladministration, also matters that were being dealt with by the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education. Now, as a board, we took a resolution to review all decisions that have been taken, decisions that are linked to all these matters that are in the public domain, and matters that led to the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education initiating an inquiry. So we're doing this, Honorable Chair, to inform ourselves better on what happened, so that we are in a better position to respond to questions, and so that we are in a better position to account. Other secondary issues, Honorable Chair, that we consider a priority, as emphasized by the CEO, is to ensure that the organization is institutionally redirected such that it's fit for purpose. Also, we found it necessary, Honorable Chair, to look at issues related to systems so that we can deal with all sorts of inefficiencies that the organization has as well. I will hand over to the CEO to add.
Well, Chaplin, in appreciation of your response, NSFAS has been founded on the basis of receiving funds from the national fiscus, such that those funds are dispensed to qualifying students. And the amount, therefore, ought to be received quite appropriately and dispensed appropriately. And those who are responsible at such platforms have been somewhat, though you term it, matters in the public domain. Not necessarily in the public domain, they're in your organization. There are matters which are endemic in your organization. And they will be in the public domain because of the sense of matters of legacy. You are just from being administered by an administrator, And the board has just come in, and yes, and the administrator involved in the institution would have acted differently, not in accordance, as well as exposed by the audit report, not in accordance with what was expected in terms of reigning properly into the organization and observing a proper organizational systems.
What is this?
I hope you clearly understand that fact.
And as far as, if you may remove the presentation of the screen now. Thanks. All right.
I missed the last point, Chair.
Mm-hmm, me too.
The last point comes from the basis that you have just come in as a board newly appointed after your institution was managed by an administrator who had to operate to assist the organization to stabilize on a previous identified areas of concern, knowing very well that your organization's founding principles are based on the fact that they ought to receive funds, and in the receipt of such funds, they ought to dispense such funds to qualifying students at various intervals. And that in itself would have required appropriate capacity.
What is your point?
And observation of ethical conduct for such funds in a maximal form to be a benefit of such qualifying students. My understanding is that as a board, you ought to reign in an environment which ought to have a clear observance of such a principle, which is going to maximize the benefit of allocated funding for the interest of the students. Not what we have somewhat ourselves now on matters termed as matters of public, domain, matters in the public domain, which are not necessarily matters in the public domain. They are matters in your organization, in your institution. It had to be your primary responsibility to get in and address those matters, because they haven't found themselves in such a public instance, because they have a grounding. That grounding is the institution and its funds.
Thank you so much, Chair, once again. We can't agree with the committee more on the need for the new board to be hands on there, and on the need for us to land running, given the challenges that are there in the organization. I just want to emphasize on behalf of my colleagues that the board and indeed new management, we are all committed to good governance. And it's for this reason, Chair, that I indicated earlier on that we have set up new committees to ensure that there's good governance. We busy developing a new strategic framework to deal with all the challenges. But above all, Chairperson, we took a resolution to ensure that all matters that render NASFAS inefficient are properly investigated, so that we're better informed to respond to the challenges.
Chairman, to an environment.
What the fuck, man?
Let's make your institution unless that there will be individuals who will come in and provide advice to your administrator, you are not there, and those individuals end up occupying key positions as an add-on to existing operatives in the organization. Is there any wisdom on use on utilization of funds dispensed primarily for students' benefit. You use such funds for the expansion of the structure and in a way which fails to observe critical instances of human resource prescripts.
Honorable Chair, there is no wisdom in the employment of funds for reasons other than which the funds are meant for.
Exactly.
So we are at one on that. All we say, Honorable Chair, is that we are doing an assessment of things that happened in the organization. And the reason for doing this this assessment, this review, if you want to call it, or an investigation, Honorable Chair, if you want to go that far, is for no other reason other than the fact that we want to take action. But you take action once you have collected all the facts and you have them on your table so that you are in a better position to justify why you take action.
What sort of timelines are you giving yourself for such investigations? Because money,
3 months.
Money is being spent. It's being spent unnecessarily. Students are crying in the streets. They don't have money. NSFAS can't fund them. And you have duplicate employees in your offices. It might be viewed as minute, but it's substantive in terms of the benefit of those who are in need, crying foul for this institution, which has been founded on the basis of our youth to get education.
Chair, the burden of leadership, as you will know, is such that even though we are new, we cannot plead newness all the time. We have got to assume and take responsibility for whatever has been happening in the organization. And I want to assure this committee that responsibility we are taking. And as indicated, there are timelines to this, timelines to how long we're going to take to investigate these matters, and the timelines are 3 months. And if there's a need to act, Honorable Chair, I want to assure this committee that this board and its management, its new management, will not hesitate to act. And I appreciate you know, what you're communicating to us, Honorable Chair, but I just want to say you are preaching to the converted. We are at one with the committee on these issues.
Okay. When is the last date for the report to be finalized?
In 3 months, Chair.
All right, Baba. 3 months starting from when?
Three months starting from the date of the investigation, the commencement of the investigation.
When was the start?
We only took a resolution, Chair, as a board about 10 days ago or so to institute a proper investigation. We have got to go through all the processes that we need to do an investigation to avoid the same kind of audit findings that these organizations have. So I want to estimate, Chair, that the investigation will start in about 3 weeks or so.
So you are satisfied about your speed, yeah?
We're satisfied about the speed. We're satisfied about our resolve and determination to make it a point that we turn this organization around, and so that we don't have the same kind of problems that the organization had in the past, and so that when we appear before you in future, it is not this kind of issues that we discuss.
Question that relates to the missile alignment of your APPs. Institutionally, when you misalign, the experience and the end result is what your CEO has referred to. Though he erroneously make reference to the fact that the end result was to be charged by the AG at a lower percentage of performance because of such. Why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult for leaders of the organization to see things appropriately even before the audit comes in? Because the responsibility of leadership of institution to detect such kind of areas. And yes, from a side, I've just simplified the fact that NSFAS exists because you must know when to pay, and you must create certainty to students who are going to receive such funds. You must ensure that certain things happen within specific instances. If you want to reverse the loans, you know, you must somewhat have that stated objective and you follow it. And if you have to chase those who have been benefiting from such loans, you must somewhat do so. And if that does not happen, it's an indication that the organization is leading towards a cliff, and the experience of such is to get back into your administrative position where earlier on you found yourselves. What is it that you're doing in terms of addressing such misalignment?
Thank you so much, Chair. Once again, I will ask the CEO to respond.
No problem.
Chair of the Executive Accounting Authority, just one request, if you may, in the interim, sort your camera out. We are not seeing you, and those who are recording keep bugging. They want to see you. All right.
Can you see me now?
Sibonu Biruf.
You see Toko, this is Toko's
report. So, when you say this, Bang Angotu, Segyang Akona, Nas, okay, you can proceed.
Thank you so much, Chair.
CEO?
Thank you, Chair. To answer or respond to the question of misalignment, Chair, as I indicated in my presentation, we agree with what the honourable member is raising, that performance management in the organisation has not been institutionalised. What do I mean by that? I mean that it was something that was left for the planning department to focus on, and we would only respond when it's time to report. What we have done so far, what we've done now since we have started a chair, is that our APPs are now supported by what we call operational plans. These operational plans are now monitored on a monthly basis, where we have to report how far are we working towards achieving the performance objectives we've set ourselves as an organization. Thirdly, Chair, what I've indicated also is that every time we have to report this information, one of the things that a responsible member of the executive has to sign on is that there is adequate supporting document that supports the evidence that we are, or the performance that we are reporting. Also, we are using our internal audit, to review what we are saying is the performance, and so that wherever we are underperforming or overperforming, we are able to institute corrective action way before audit. And Chair, it is correct that the monitoring of performance is not an audit issue, but it's a management and a strategic issue. What the board has also done with respect to the strat plan, we will recall, Chair, that the strategic plan is supposed to be a 5-year document, but when this board took over, it then proceeded to request to review this document even this year to make sure that we look at the outcomes and review the strategic outcomes. The board has come up with 7 strategic outcomes. We have also ensured that the plan itself, the strategic plan, meets the requirements of being a SMART, and is also responsive to the government outcomes. So these are the processes that we've now instituted, Chair. As I also indicated in my presentation, we do not have a system, so we report performance now manually as it is. We are in the process of engaging a process of developing or acquiring a system where performance will be logged on the system. That is what we are doing, Chair, to address these matters. Of course, part of what has led to this problem, Chair, is that during administration, there was a process to align the administrator's terms of reference to the strategic plan, to the APPN strategic plan. In doing so, Chair, this then also, because it was done in the middle of the performance cycle, this then led to the indicators not being met at the level, and also that these were not really aligned to the SMART objectives. Chair, with your permission, if I can just also supplement the previous response of the Chair to indicate that, if I'm allowed, Chair, to indicate that indeed, whilst there were at the time positions of the administrator, so the administrator had to work with an administration team. Of course, working with that administration team meant that he had to bring advisors to let's say, for example, a finance advisor, while they were substantive people, because he also needed to get assurance that what was being provided was right. But we have not, Chair, at least in my view, found positions, except in one instance where they were duplicated, where there's two people performing the same function. It only happened that during administration, there was a consultant that was appointed to assist with the performance information as part of aligning the administrator's terms of reference. And of course, that consultant's term has not yet come to an end. They are still in the organization. However, we have now repurposed them to providing support in as far as performance information. I just thought, Chair, I should also just provide that kind of context. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, as CEO. On the area that relates to matters of interest in your organization, student funding ought to be a bit predictable, and taking it from the line right through up until the present, the surety of such a predictability, how is the institution guarantees that if you are a student, you get into a university, having applied for such funding, you would know that because of these parameters, let alone that because of the problems that you have reached in as far as COVID is concerned has required your actual relook in as far as the qualification of such individuals who have to benefit, and how far do you stand in terms of such a guarantee? So those who are getting into universities, they would know that there is a way that I'm getting into the university. There is a guarantee that I'm going to have study assistance in as far as NSFAS is concerned. Help us, Phil.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think maybe let me start by saying this, that 90%, Chair, of our challenges, if I'm to speak to it, relate to systems. And the issue of our systems is that they are aging, they are systems that are not predictable. And so the first thing for us to make sure that we provide certainty to students, because systems, Chair, firstly affect how you engage with us as an applicant. When we take your application, are we able to respond to you timeously? Are we able to, when we evaluate the application, be able to give answers as soon as possible? Are students going to be able to upload the necessary supporting documents to support their applications? Now, with aging systems, there is always no certainty that things would work the way we envisage to for them to work. And when it also comes to payment, we could sit a chair and say we want to pay students on a particular date, but because you are dealing with an unreliable system, you end up not paying on that set date. So what is it that we are now doing to address that? As indicated, Chair, one of the first key decisions that I took, which was then endorsed by the board since I took office, was that of making sure that we acquire a new system. To this end, Chair, we have already finished the user requirements for that system. We are going to be going further. What we've also had to do, Chair, is not being able to have any time, because you are supposed to be dispersing on a monthly basis. So there's been time for us to take the time to reconfigure this system and to make sure that we maintain it in such a way that it is reliable. So what we've done at the beginning of this year, we've taken a decision in that as we speak, the review of the disbursement module in the system is being reworked on. What we've then agreed, Chair, with institutions is that we will then pay them some monies in advance to allow for them to continue paying allowance. And what we are saying to institutions is that how we should be paying as student allowances, it should be a set date, like we all know when we get our salaries. So this has been a priority, and of course we are committing to that, Chair. And what we are also doing is there is a platform that is called the NSFAS wallet, in which TVET students are paid, and we are reviewing that platform. We find that that platform is risky in a sense that it relies on cell phone numbers of students. And what we've been seeing is that there are unscrupulous forces such as hackers who are trying to take over these accounts, which then ultimately leads to students being blocked and not being paid. So we have initiated a process to review that system, and we've engaged with the provider to institute more controls into the system. And of course, we are also reviewing the possibility of looking at other methods to dispersing directly to students other than relying on the cell phone technology. So, Chair, it will all sound like things that we are saying, but I think, as the Chair indicated, the next time, if there is ever a next time, and we wish that there would be no next time where we are coming before this committee, because all our matters would have been resolved. But these are the issues that we are working on, Chair. to make sure that, because I think what we've had to do as an organization is to really understand, to say we are saying we are a student-centered organization. How do we then make sure that the experience of the student is seamless? Of course, Chair, lastly, the point I want to make is that an issue that is 10% of the problem is people. It's very easy to convert and change a system, but what we also need to be working on are the mindsets of people, so that we all understand that we are in the public sector to serve. And that, of course, takes its own time, because there's been a culture of non-performance, if I can call it that. And to that end, Chair, we are introducing with the board performance agreements and performance management for our staff members. I'll pause there. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much, CEO. My next question, which is the second to the end, it's based on the your prepayment method. Yes, you've spoken about your challenges in as far as the systems are concerned, which might as well imply that in this area that is another problem. But there's an indication here that you'd face a myriad of challenges. How do you seek to mitigate this so as well look into a very objective way of dealing with it? If need be, how would you want to somewhat ensure that where such funds are, NSFAS is always in the same area? You are not acting together with your agents as institutions who are going to be end issuance in as far as such amounts are concerned. What is it that you're doing better to intervene in that area?
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, the way maybe just also provide a little bit of background. It is true, Chair, that as NSFAS, we are reliant on institutions. However, what we have not been doing in the past, I mean, any funder does require certain assurances to be provided to it in a sense that have the funds been spent as intended, and also that reconciliation happen between the funder and the institution that is funded. It is true, Chair, that we have let this lapse. So what we are doing as an interim, we've issued guidelines to institutions that require them to provide us assurances from their internal auditors and or external auditors, in as far as giving us assurances that the money has been spent as intended, that where there are balances, they are reflected, so that we can perform proper reconciliation. Internally, Chair, we in the interim, to prepare for our end of the financial year, as indicated by the Chair, we have sourced an external provider to assist us to reconcile the legacy balances that we are sitting with within institutions, with the view of then transferring skills to us internally. And we have established a reconciliation team in internally, wherein on a monthly basis, something we've not been doing, on a monthly basis, we will reconcile these balances between us and institutions. And of course, Chair, if we sort out our system problem, I don't want to take everything to the system, but if we solve our system problems, then we do away with the need for prepayments, because we would be paying on actual amounts that are due to institutions. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So lastly, you're saying through lack of reconciliation, you can't know the specificity in as far as the amounts owing to or by such institutions and up until that time, you would be in a better position to attest to such a kind of an instance. Am I right? Zero?
Yes, Chair, you are correct in as far as that has been the process. What we have started, we have initiated now a process where we are reconciling the amounts between us and institution. Chair, maybe to just add to this, the complexity in these reconciliations, it's not just a financial recon, but there is underlying data in a sense that we would have given an institution as an example. This is the data for students that are funded by NSFAS with a particular institution. The institution would then in turn give us registration data. Ideally, this registration data should reconcile to the data that we had given on funding students. Now we find that one of the issues could be that there are now students that were added into the registration data that were not part of our funding list. Given our system challenges, it's also possible that there were students who ought to have been in our funding list that were not in that list. It can also happen, Chair, that there are students, as much as they appear on both lists, but they have now been registered into qualifications that are no longer funded. Now, these are the issues that become reconciling items that tend to take long, and also the time lag of exchanging data between us and the institutions. So this is why it seems to be a simple accounting transaction, but there is some underlying issues that tend to have it difficult for us to resolve on some of these issues. But as indicated, Chair, we are in progress with that exercise of performing these reconciliations.
Are you in a position now to expose the committee how many new entrants are going to be the beneficiaries from NSFAS and what necessitated the closure of the date of applications, even before some who have just matriculated could have access to your processes through proper applications? Ozogali, unmute, that's right.
Can you hear me now, Chair?
No, properly, yes.
Chair, I was requesting that perhaps just there's a bit of the question I missed around the number. You were requesting for a number of what, sorry, please, Chair?
New entrants, the new entrants of beneficiaries into your system. Do you have such a detail now?
Yes, Chair. Perhaps I need to preface this with a bit of background as well, that in the previous year, Chair, we had received about 400 odd applications. In the current year, we have received about 800 applications. This takes into account the walk-ins that were opened for the TVET College. Through our online portal, we got about 750,000 applications. Chair, so as much as there are so many applications, perhaps I'm not the subject matter expert on this, but there are enrollment targets and plans that institutions have. And as such, we can only, the system can only absorb students to the extent that they are within the enrollment plans. Our projection, Chair, that taken together with TVET colleges and universities, the number of learners that we expect in the system. So in the previous year, we had about 700 odd thousand students in total that were in the system. In this year, we project that there will be close to 1 million students that have to be funded. That we think would be eligible for funding. Of course, this is also, we don't know what we are not certain about. How many students will end up finding a place at a place of higher institution? Because the only time we can truly say we have funded as NSFAS is when a student is now registered with a institution.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me give you a break. I'm asking some time.
All right.
Yeah, so I'll take
all right, let's dispense with the issues that are around the annual report copy, so that Honorable Hatte with an H can then come in for his section. So Honorable Faminen, you've got your hand up, then we'll proceed in that fashion. I also have a few questions in this space. Right, Honorable Faminen, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've just got a couple of questions here. One, on the question of Honorable Somyo, the guarantee that students will be able to finish their courses. Can I please get clarity on that? Because we can't have students who start to study and who then end up not being able to actually finish, particularly if they're doing courses that are no longer funded. So that is something I really would like to hear about. And then systems. I'm afraid I find it very difficult just to be given the answer that it's the systems. You know, we're now in the fourth industrial revolution. I think we've got beyond blaming the computer for things. So if we could please elaborate on what the issue with systems are. Is it the software? If so, where is the software that they're currently using being sourced? Why has it taken so long to get to the bottom of this? And I mean, quite frankly, we've got plenty of options for certifying identity and payments. So that just really isn't an excuse that is viable. So could we please have some elaboration on that? Thank you.
All right, let's get a response to that. Colleagues, please indicate in the group as usual if you would like to speak.
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, from the first question about whether there's a guarantee that the students will continue to be funded. Indeed, Chair, students who were enrolled in the legacy qualifications before those qualifications were expired are allowed and will be funded to complete those courses. It is only those that are first-time entrants that should not be enrolled in those legacy qualifications. But I'm hoping that the colleagues from the department will also come in to assist me on that. Now, Chair, the question of systems, the best way to explain it is the following, Chair. So the system that we are working on as NSFAS is one, a system that was acquired, I think, some 10 years ago. And we are even on a first version of this system than the versions that were provided by this provider have since evolved to higher versions. Secondly, the system itself that we are using, there are two systems that NSFAS is using. One is called Phoenix. The other one is, I think it's called Cash. These systems perform the same functions in a sense that they end up being incompatible and conflicting with each other. What has also happened, now the system is now have changed ownership. The owners of this current system are sitting in Jamaica, and they're also not able to provide us the necessary support. What that has led to in the organization, there's also been no controls on who accesses the system and who codes on the system. What has typically happened is that anyone who thinks has got some ability to code, has been able to write code into these systems, which therefore make the systems be slow, make the systems to duplicate data such that they are very unreliable. So that is, and the question of why is it that it has taken so long that these systems have not been changed? Chair, if I provide an answer to that, it would be pure speculation on my part. Hence, the first decision that we took as myself, as the new CEO, and the board endorsed since it started, is that a new system has to be acquired. How far are we with the acquisition of the new system? We have completed all the user requirements, as I indicated. We are now going to issue out a tender in the next month, and we have given ourselves 6 months to implement. But I've also indicated, Chair, that in the interim, we are looking at ways of working outside of the system, but we are also looking at enhancing to the extent that we can some of the modules with the system.
All right, Honorable Familian, are you fine?
I've just got a question. What's the response that the people who essentially developed the system are in Jamaica? I mean, who is the system bought from, and why has there not been adequate support in, you know, as part of that entire contract? Thank you.
Many of these issues in terms of support emanate from whatever contractual agreements that were put in place when these systems were acquired. The system initially belonged to Deloitte. This is when NSPAS acquired this system. And Deloitte has since sold the system. In fact, I think from the time it was acquired from Deloitte, it has since changed hands about two times. It was then acquired in America, and then the Americans sold it to the Jamaicans. The issue around the support, so the way it is now, given that it's an internationally owned system, even the support, if you ask for support from them, you kind of have to pay lots of money just for them to look at issues. Hence, we have had to try and get some internal capacity to work on this. But because this internal capacity had not developed this system themselves, it then leads to these glitches that we now see today on the system.
All right. And Rufan Minan, are you fine?
No, but I'll let it go. I just think it's very, very strange, very, very bizarre, but that's fine. I'll let it go.
I see no hands. I've just got, may I build on that, Honorable Hunter, be on standby for the issues around irregular expenditure and so on. I'm actually just building on this obsolete system, which is on version 1 and over 10 years old. Are you still paying, are you paying any money for it, whether monthly, quarterly or yearly, as a contractual obligation, and if so, how much? And whether the contract in itself is still valid, and how many times has it been renewed in the time that it's been active?
Chair, the what we pay on this is an annual license fee of $3 million for this system. The system, Chair, is one of those that were, can I call it an open-ended contract? What this contract to terminate this system requires a year's notice. And I can say, Chair, that we have already made that notice that we are terminating this system, this contract with them, which is why we have now embarked on the process of acquiring a new system.
So you've been paying 3 million rands per year for an obsolete system.
That's correct.
You know, the irony, of course, calling it that, in one way or the other, if you look at the structure of the department and or ministry, for the ministry, it's the Department of Higher Education, Science and Technology, Innovation. And yet here we are, globetrotting, on a basic technological system which capacity should ordinarily just be found here at home and new ones here at home. Now we're paying 3 million rands really for something that is utterly useless. But just a quick question. In the assessment of the accounting authority, which came in to office on the 1st of January, after the entity was under administration, what is your assessment of, or whether in your assessment, were there any achievements in the year of administration, and whether the situation improved? Because I would imagine that if you're placing an entity under administration, you do so for the fact that you want it to be improved and turned around. So what's your assessment of what you have found? And you will see where I'm going with this just now. May I get a response?
The period of administration, Chair. So when the administrator took over, there were lots of students that were stuck on the system and were not paid. I'm saying not necessarily the electronic system, but that were not paid, whose allowances were not released. So the focus was on releasing those allowances. Also, the terms of the administrator required for certain investigations to be undertaken, and those investigations were undertaken during administration. The terms of reference also required that the administrator institute or at least put in place some governance, and that was done through the board process, the appointment of the Audit and Risk Committee, and also began to institutionalize organizational processes. And then the focus also was on building relationships with institutions, relationships which were broken, and also with funders. So the focus of administration, Chair, has been on that.
The point of question is, do you consider the administration period to have been a success in the collective interest of the entity? Because that's the point of departure which you need to move from as the new leadership.
Chair, this is now my own view, but perhaps the chairperson will come in here, that there were aspects that worked during administration. There were certainly certain aspects that needed certain attention, and these aspects, Chair, we don't have to look far, that in the report of the AG, those are clearly articulated as areas that needed attention, which perhaps did not get the attention.
No, but CEO, I'm going to the accounting authority. I'm being very pointed. You've come into office to an institution that was under administration, and you have to make a determination which is going to be the guiding principle of how you move forward. And you are then duty bound to make an assessment of the institution, the entity. Was, in your view, what you received as an entity that had been improved by it being under administration? Because you have to borrow best practice, and you have to, because as far as I'm concerned, that is your North Star. an institution is not just placed under administration, and I'm interested to know whether you consider what you found to be an institution that had improved. If you've not done the assessment, then that's okay. You can say so that you have not looked at that aspect, and if you haven't, it would be a serious oversight, actually, because that's what informs you moving forward.
Chair, as I indicated, we have done an assessment. My answer, Chair, is one that says, maybe I'll talk to what I found as issues that needed attention in the assessment. But my answer, Chair, is that looking at where the institution was when it was placed under administration, there is some moving of the needle that happened. However, not everything was addressed during the time of the administration. The areas, Chair, that require improvement is one, our assessment is that the structure is not fit for purpose in that it is not, this is the organizational structure, in that it's not aligned to the student-centered model. Two, that the systems or technology was not fully leveraged to make sure that this is adequately addressed. Three, there was no institutionalization of performance management into the organization. Performance information in itself was not embedded into the organization. These are some of the areas, Chair, we've looked at, and these are the areas we've said are the areas that need assessment. Chair, I'm saying this cognizant of the fact that the administration, by its nature, at least to my understanding, would not address everything, but would only address the issues that were detailed in the terms of reference. And to the extent that it related to the terms of reference, most of those issues were addressed. That is my assessment, Chair. Thank you.
All right. The accounting authority, the same question to them.
Thank you, Chair. Areas, as the CEO indicated, which witnessed improvement, there are areas which are a source of concern to the new board, and this account for our decision to do an overview and investigation of things that happened. So we, in a nutshell, we consider the new board that the organization is run as efficiently as possible. So it's not there yet, in short.
But, Chairman, the question is very pointed. In your assessment coming into the institution, your point of departure is that you're inheriting an institution that was under administration.
Yes.
In your assessment, was the intervention or the administration successful? Was it what you inherited? Or rather, let me put it this way. Are you satisfied with the kind of institution that you found, that it is in a position to meet its the basic and primary responsibilities?
The quick answer to that, Chair, is no. The institution needs a lot of fine-tuning, which is what we're going to do.
Well, I appreciate that, Frank. Why I say this is Honorable Somio pointed out, we met with the administration and the administrator, and a series of promises and commitments were made. And quite frankly, I do not think there was ever a time where NSFAS has been in the kind of space it is in now, even from a perception point of view. And news here are not new. The yardstick measure of our work, because there's news every day. News is the moving target. But perception is everything. And you are in the news for all the wrong reasons. One would imagine that you would have come into an institution where very little had to be done, because an administrator is an expert who's supposed to stabilize and turn the institution onto a trajectory of sustainability and viability, functionality, effectiveness, and efficiency. Listening to what the CEO said and what you have said, Mr. Chairman, none of that has happened. And so it calls into question, and this needs probing, as to what was exactly achieved during this tenure of administration, and why we're in the mess that we are in now. And I'm putting it to you that this is something you need to look at. And I think DG, and I'm sure the minister is here now, we want a full-scale assessment of that administration and how much it costs the taxpayer, and whether due processes were followed in the activities that were conducted at that time. I mean, the laundry list that the CEO has given us now, that in itself just tells you that whatever movement of the needle was there, was merely I wouldn't even call it movement, actually. And then the full-blown explosion is what you have now. And so I'm raising this, Mr. Chen, CEO, so that you can understand the collective anxiety of this committee from the fact that, from the perspective that we are dealing with an institution which carries the collective sustainable livelihoods of the previously disadvantaged and presently disadvantaged, compounded by the challenges of COVID-19, and they find themselves increasingly marginalized, excluded, and unable to move. And there is, I'm putting it very smoothly, a reality of dysfunctionality. And DG has to take us into some sort of confidence here about the department's plans insofar as how they're going to offer support to NSFAS so that it actually becomes fit for purpose, as you heard the CEO saying it's not. And also for us to receive an explanation as to how we arrived where we are. An institution can't just collapse. The warning signs have been there, but it seems as if interventions were not timely. And that will play squarely on the new contract. Minister, when you come in, I would request that you take us through in that further detail.
I don't know, I think it's like 9:30.
It's about NSFAS first. There is something must pass away. And our problems are real now, because this has got the potential of a ripple effect
on the public purse. And so we do need to get an understanding and a sense of your thinking on how you're going to turn things around, to turn the corner of this institution. And the second point, Minister, that I'd like to raise with you, and then Honorable Hadebe, you can come in, is whether the current structure of the transition and the transition period from basic education at matric level to higher education is sufficient for the purposes of administrating and processing of one applications into institutions of higher learning generally, but more specifically on how any of us can manage that as well, and whether the agility is there. I mean, in a normal course of life, absent of COVID, the results would have come out around about the 5th or the 8th of January. And for all intents and purposes, institutions of higher learning begin lecturing, learning and teaching at the end of January and the start of Feb. That's 3 weeks to place hundreds and thousands of learners across the country, and also at the same time trying to manage the finances and so on. And whether is the no need at this point in time, moving forward, to adjust in one way or the other the academic calendar for the purposes of proper administration. And I suppose that's a political question, a political decision that has to be taken, assisting institutions like NSFAS. But this scramble at the start of the year, amongst other things, is what lends itself to the chaos, things falling through the cracks, and an inability to do a headcount and placements, which give the system, NSFAS rather, enough breathing space to be able to manage and cope with the demand, which of course is going to escalate, including but not limited to, because of the now prevailing challenges of COVID-19. So, Minister, just those 2 points. But this 3 to 4 week scramble, at times forcing students even into March attending half classes because they have to go to the long NSFAS pews, is perpetuating the very vicious cycle of inequality. Students are spending too much time in pews and not enough in classrooms. And the haves continue to be in class because they don't have to worry about those queues and that administration and that kind of treatment that they receive. I was once in the SRC at UKZN. And so some of these challenges are very, very real, and I've seen them. They prevail today. There has to be better management of it, because the ripple effects and the strain on the public purse, that if these students drop out, they're not placed, then the state has to provide for them elsewhere somehow, and so on. So it just the problem. So, Minister, I'm just placing that for when you come in. So, Honorable Hadebe, I was just trying to zoom in onto the issues of the annual report from a different angle, so that you can come in with But also, I think at some point, colleagues, we will need to get the administrator here, or the former administrator. Honorable Hadebe, over to you, Baba.
No, thanks, Chair. Firstly, let me apologize. I'm not at home yet. And as such, the area where I'm at, the network is problematic. So I would request not to switch on my camera.
No, that's fine, understandable.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. And I'd like to concur with you that I think we will have to, at some point, bring in the administrator, because much of the questions that I wanted to ask are in relation to his performance as they relate to irregular expenditure. But let me state that NSFAS appeared before us on the 30th of October 2019. And at the time, we were told that NSFAS under administration developed a risk-based strategy informed by a detailed root cause analysis. And the focus would be in introducing financial controls, improving governance, developing and enforcing a policy and standard operating procedure. That's what we were told at that time. And understanding the terms of reference of the administrator at the time, key amongst others, was to put in place the necessary management and governance control, ensure that adequate plans are in place to make funding decisions at the earliest possible time for the year as close to the period of registration as possible. And as stated by the CFO, to maintain a close and productive working relationship between NSFAS and universities. Now, I'd like, Chair, before I get into the issues of irregular expenditure, to get a sense, because when you take over from the new perspective point of view, you get what we call a handover report or a close-out report. But in the view of the new board and the CFO, this administrator managed to develop a risk-based strategy that was informed by a detailed root cause analysis. Has the administrator been able to focus on introducing financial controls, improving governance, and enforcing the policy standard operating procedure and clamping down on fraud and corruption? That would be my first question, Chair. Has that taken place? I understand you started in December 2020. You are 3 months into your office. But that would have been the basis of you building on whether it's a conducive environment to work on or starting from the scratch. So you couldn't just take over and don't know whether you're going back or you're starting from the scratch. Thank you, Chair.
All right. The Chair of the Chairman and CEO, the same format will apply as when Honorable Stormy was on the platform. So I won't be coming and you can respond immediately.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'll start by indicating, sorry, Chair, that the chairperson of the board cut out. He's trying to reconnect, so I will try and address all the issues that you have. Chair, in terms of the financial controls, has the administrator started? Yes, Chair. There was a process where the administrator initiated controls. How has this been done? There were areas where in the finance appointments of staff were done. The risk and compliance unit was introduced by the administrator, which is still at its infancy. Also, an internal audit department has been established during administration. The audit and risk committee was appointed by the administrator. Chair, also there is an ongoing project that is reviewing standard operating procedures in the organization that was initiated by the administrator. I can also confirm, Chair, that perhaps I'm not the person, that there has been ongoing engagements that the administrator has set with the student leadership. So these engagements we've had to take over on a regular basis, including
Chair, the CEO is mute. Is it only me?
No, I don't think he's mute. He's,
he was fading out. I'm just, he may have a connection problem. Yeah, his mic was indicating he's still on. But CEO? Bummer. I think, right, let's just hang 10. Find the CEO and the chairperson.
Bangabaleki masekhalameni.
Alright, let's just hang 10. Can we be assisted with them just re-logging in? CEO, chairperson, are you here?
James, but I understand because I'm also struggling with network where I am, James. I understand. So, bahambe bonke, James.
Yes, bona kanjani.
Was only appointed after the financial year
had ended in the previous year. So they were not, they have not been fully embedded. Also, issues of risk and compliance. These are areas that require to be institutionalized at the organization. So our risk maturity level is still quite a low at quite a low stage as the organization. But indeed, these were initiated, Chair.
Chair, part of the financial control measures is to make sure that you detect and prevent irregular expenditure from occurring. For three consecutive years, you've incurred irregular expenditure, and they've been fluctuating in relation to disbursement with regards to non-compliance on laws and regulations. From 1.7 billion to 2.6 billion, and for the current financial year under review, you incurred irregular expenditure of 522 million. Now, for the past 3 years, it clearly indicates that you were unable to prevent irregular expenditure from occurring. I'd like to get a sense as it relates to these amounts, whether or not there has been investigation that has been taken place.
Is it time for me to respond, Chair?
Yes. In relation to the 522 million of irregular expenditure for the financial year under review.
Thank you, Chair. So, Chair, perhaps to respond to this, we must start with the root cause. Chair, what we typically did as an organization, we did not agree, and I'm saying we did not, I'm using the word in the past, Chair, we did not agree with the Auditor General that some of these aspects were indeed irregular expenditure. And in not agreeing with the Auditor General, we had also sought legal opinion on some of the matters on whether or not they were irregular expenditure. For example, one of the issues pertaining to irregular expenditure is where we have had a student sign a contract, but the contract does not specify the full value of the funding. The opinion we would have received, for example, from NCR would be saying that regardless of whether or not the amount is there, this would still be a contractual obligation. Now, I'm saying this, Chair, in that so once you get to the realm of disagreeing with the Auditor General, and you then not focus on implementing the recommendation, it then follows that these matters will then continue to occur because the Auditor General will deem it as irregular when we are sitting here and understanding that it's not. So that is the one the part of the root cause, Chair, why we have not been able to clean out this issue. What we've done now is we have agreed with the Auditor General that we will implement this, and we have instituted processes to clean out this irregular expenditure. Part of this irregular expenditure, Chair, as I indicated, relates to a non-compliance report that was issued which led to administration. So some of these areas are taking time to clear them out of the system in the organization. That is where what led to this, Chair, and why we're not able to try and clean out these irregular expenditures.
So you are saying to me, as things stand, you are in disagreement with the Auditor General as it relates to irregular expenditure, where AG mentioned that students who have been funded for causes that NSFAS does not fund. Secondly, disbursement in excess of the loan or bursary awarded. Disbursement process against incorrect funders. Disbursement process to incorrect students. Disbursement paid to a student in terms of multiple awards. Disbursement for students, including returning students, where there is an unsigned bursary or a loan agreement. Many of these relate to signatures that have been brought into question due to design flaw systems. So you are saying all of these, you are disputing them?
No, Chair. Maybe I'm saying, let me try.
So if you're not disputing, I'm saying to you, in relation to this irregular expenditure, who were the persons involved, what has been done, and what are the mitigating factors in place where you do not have disputes, as I've broken down to you some of the areas of irregular expenses. What have you done in relation to that? Who was responsible for dispersing funds to causes that you do not fund? Who was responsible for dispersing or processing funds against incorrect funders? Who was responsible for disbursement process to incorrect students? What have you been done? Have you been able or have you received a report in relation to this irregular expenditure where there has been an indication or a sense of consequence management? And how many officials are we referring to in this regard? What I'm trying to assess and engage is that indeed, as per the terms of reference of the previous administration, he did achieve what he was meant to achieve, that of clamping down on fraud and corruption and dealing decisively with non-compliance to laws and regulations. And I've tried to break down, so focus on areas where you do not have a disagreement and leave those that are a bone of contention at this current juncture.
Chair, what I was merely highlighting, Chair, I am not saying there are issues that are we are in disagreement with the AG. I am saying, Chair, that
Honorable Hart, just one second. Honorable Hart, may you mute in between the questions?
My apologies, Chair. Thank you.
But you may proceed, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, maybe I was providing contextual background that part of the reason why some of this irregular expenditure was not adequately dealt with is because there were areas that were being disputed with the Auditor General at the time. We have since looked at it, at the matters, because these were disputed on the basis of legal opinions that we had received. For example, Chair, just to highlight one example, in cases where we were saying, where it is said that there are the amount that were dispersed over the contractual value. The interpretation of NSFAS was that it did not need to, we did not need to sign revised agreements, because the opinion from the National Credit Regulator was that as long as there's an agreement, the amount does not matter. So we then continued dispersing with those kind of contracts without regularizing them. Now we have begun the process of regularizing those contracts. That is the point I was highlighting, Chair. The second issue, Chair, is that some of this irregular expenditure, dispersing, for example, the expenditure relates to the non-compliance with laws and regulations, which was the very same report that led to the entity being placed under administration. These continue to be expenditures incurred against those students that were funded as a result of that non-compliance. So that irregular expenditure continues to be incurred. In many cases, Chair, as I highlighted, some of this irregular expenditure, one was incurred by the previous board, which is no longer there. Some of the staff members that had been party to incurring of the irregular expenditure are no longer with the organization. They had either resigned when the administration started. Some, at least one case, was dismissed during administration. Another resigned before the disciplinary processes were instituted. Some of this irregular expenditure is around the interpretation of the funding guidelines and funding criteria, and as such, they cannot be attributed to an individual. We did receive a report as part of the handover that all of this was assessed, and except for the cases I've mentioned, it was deemed that there is no official, one official, that can be linked to these issues, Chair. And I'm highlighting, Chair, that going forward, part of what we are doing now is that we are cleaning out this irregular expenditure. Some of these things are what led to the material irregularities that were raised by the AG. And we had to then satisfy the AG that we are implementing proper controls and actions to address these issues that led to such material irregularities. And the AG has indicated that so far it is satisfied with the actions that we have now put in place to addressing these issues.
So you are saying to me at this point in time, you are unable to indicate whether or not consequence management was effective on issues that you are not in dispute. Because that response, I'm not hearing from your side.
I am saying that, Chair, that the assessment that we have done or that was done with this is that these issues cannot be attributable to an individual, wherein a specific individual can be held accountable. In those areas that were investigated and the individuals were found accountable, they have gone through the disciplinary processes. Others resigned before that those processes were instituted.
Are you able then to respond to this one in terms of who were the employees involved in the 440,000 missing records that led to irregular expenditure of 7.5 billion?
No, Chair, I am not able to attribute that to specific employees at this stage.
Reason being, is the investigation still underway or has it been concluded and you can't attribute to any individual?
Chair, the investigations have been concluded and they were not able to attribute through the investigation process these matters to a specific individual.
I'm having a very serious concern. I understand the fact that you are working in an environment of systems, and in any system-driven environment, you have role players with a particular, a clearly defined roles and responsibilities. And in an event where your system fails, it becomes easy for you to detect or identify the failure and who is the responsible party. Unless within your system, you do not have a clearly defined role for your role players within that system, hence you are unable to apportion a blame to anyone. Is the case of you having a system without a clearly defined roles and responsibilities for your staff?
Chair, I I indicated earlier that part of the issues we are facing with our systems, that any one person, there were no access controls, any one person can go to the back end of. Underlying data is concerned has those issues. If we look to the IT report chair or the IT section, perhaps it's not in the annual report, but it is in the management letter. One of the issues that the AG raises in our management letter is the question of access controls within the current system. So it would be difficult to then assign and attribute account of who the person went and accessed the system when we don't have access controls in place. But some of the information, Chair, that relates to missing documents are issues of data exchange between us and the institution. There is a, just to illustrate this point, there is a project that is called the Closer Project. That is a project between us and the universities. We find that there are issues of institutions saying they have sent us data and we can't find the data on our side, or we've sent them data, they have not been able to find data. These are some of the issues, Chair, that make it difficult to track and trace some of the sources of where the problems are.
Chair, I think I'm going to having difficulty in proceeding because my follow-up questions are interlinked to these issues of missing record and what is prescribed by Section 55, Subsection 1 of the PFMA about the accounting authority keeping proper records and what then becomes the consequent failure to do such. And if I were to proceed, I think I'm going to get the same answer to say you are unable to identify the responsible person. I don't know. I need to be guided on how do I proceed in this matter. Because my next question was going to be, there were people that ought to have oversee or play an oversight role on these officials. And do you know who are those officials that did not play a meaningful oversight? If you can't identify the person involved in missing records, clearly you won't be able to be in a position to tell me who were officials that were meant to play an oversight. So I need...
No. I hear you. You are quite right. It's going to be a vicious cycle of the same response. The one dilemma is
it's a new board.
Is anchored in what I was asking earlier on. Look, I think we must just accept the fact that the institution collapsed, and it is now incumbent on the new accounting authority and executives, led by the CEO, to build it anew.
Mm. Okay. That's it.
There's no access, there's no control to access.
Mm. That's it.
You've got an obsolete system.
Close the map.
Costing us 3 million rands a year. Managed in Jamaica. Of people who are charging us exorbitant amounts every time they need to do some work on it. I even question the integrity of these disciplinary processes, actually, or whether they were done thoroughly at the very least, which have resulted in people not being known. It's a very sad state of affairs. And that's what I keep going to this. Where was the department? DG, it breaks one's heart, actually.
Oh, God.
If you take to heart why we have NSFAS to begin. I mean, let me put this question. Where are the laptops? COVID-19, PPE, lockdown time. Where are the laptops? And it's those kind of things. And I think, CEO, I'm not sure that the chair of the accounting authority is back. I think it's timely that you came to the committee at this time, so that at the outset of your work, you can understand the seriousness of this matter. Which this is, we are taking it that seriously. So you understand our thinking, Hollywood. And this morning we had new executives as well, but obviously longer in their newness than yourselves, for sure. And Honorable Liz said that she has a warm feeling just about how they presented themselves and were handling things. He writes in our group now that there's no warm feeling now. I share his sentiment. So I think, colleagues, let's bring it to a suspension there.
Can I just try one more time on investigation that has been concluded on slide 13, where
okay.
It speaks about investigation into, I think it's Xbox channel. It says the investigation has been complete and disciplinary actions completed. Can I get a sense of what were the outcomes of the investigation? Who were the officials involved and what was the sanction and what position do they occupy? On slide 15, that speaks about investigation into Xbox channel. This one has been concluded and the disciplinary action completed. So can I get a sense, because we want to attach names to these actions so that we know. Next time when you come again with the same or similar disciplinary records, that it's not the same old people that are guilty as charged. Thank you, Jim.
Let's get a response to that, and then I want to make a proposal, colleagues, after that.
Chair, the name of the employee, I would have to come back to the committee to provide the name of the specific employee. However, Chair, this investigation has led us to refer the matter to the SIU, in as far as most of this related to fraud that was perpetuated outside the organization. This is where we identified that there is a syndicate that is trying to access these funds of students. And we have now, as I indicated, taken the matter to the SIU. It is waiting for proclamation from the president. Thank you, Chair.
Is it one person involved?
Chair,
All right, you were saying as CEO?
Chair, according to the report, one person was involved, and a part of the involvement is of the person. They ought to have put a control in place that they did not put in place. Hence, they were found guilty to prevent the fraud that was happening externally.
So at this point in time, we are not in a position to provide details, despite the matter being finalized and concluded.
No, Chair.
Is the person still part of your payroll? Is he still working for NSOS?
No, Chair. I indicated that the staff member has been dismissed. The name of the person is the name that I don't have, but I can then provide the name at a later stage. I don't have the name now with me.
because they are no longer an employee of the organization.
Honorable Hadebis, I hear you, Baba. You are dealing here with a qualified report with a new management. CEOs appreciate their successors in law. And I hope there's an appreciation of the seriousness of the issues we are raising, that we want them dealt with speedily as well. My heart actually just sinks. I worry about the poor. This explains precisely why you have the kind of chaos you find in institutions of higher learning. Because, so that I'm not lost in interpretation, when I say students are spending too much time in queues, it's out of no fault of their own. It's because they are dealing with a system that is just not responsive. And so they are back and forth. You know, let me make this an analogy. When we were campaigning for SRC election, you would engage with the students. Then you ask, what are your issues? Or they would ask you, how are you solving these issues? And day in and day out, the black child, the rural poor, previously disadvantaged, presently disadvantaged, would be asking you, what are your solutions about NSFAS, residence, transportation from the residences to campuses? The list would always be endless of the very real and substantive issues which impact directly on the ability to learn effectively. And then you would go to the haves and the privileged, and they would tell you, how are you sorting out the parking? That is the gravity of the levels of inequality. And NSFAS is an institution which is supposed to address that very inequality and inch the previously disadvantaged and presently disadvantaged poor closer and closer to the haves. And what we are hearing here tonight is the history of an organization that inched further and further and further away from its core mandate in terms of systems and controls. And it's precisely why I'm asking, where was the department? It just, and of course, I mean, the minister at some point who's here now was not the minister, then he was the transport. So, even if you are now, he wasn't even there when this administration was set up, but he was there prior. But the department was there. And this is not seeking to absolve the minister at all. He can account for himself to us here in the House. But it's shameful that we're doing this to the black child. Colleagues, I'm going to maybe hand over to the minister and hear what he has to say, and then we'll take it from there. Maybe let me start with the DG and then go to the minister, and then we will make a determination about these issues. Yabona nje kodwa le ayidumi kanje uma izosuka asoze. No. Right, DG, we'll hand over to you. If you've got any comments in reaction to the issues that have been raised tonight.
No.
Someone is trying to speak. DG? Colleagues, are you still there? If you just look at the historic matches, and I hope, yeah, the CEO and the chair of the board of the authority, this is a personal indictment against the institution that they're dealing with, or lack thereof. Right, Minister, over to you.
I don't know whether my network will sustain me with the video on, but I'll keep it on if you don't hear me properly. Thank you very much, you know, for this, and thank you for inviting me. I would have liked to actually come at the end. I hope that even if you connect with DG, you will give me a chance to wrap up if necessary. After him. But let me try and answer, because you have posed two main questions to me, which relate to the question with which you are raising now.
Minister, maybe try turning your camera off, and maybe that will help your network, and then you'll just listen. Yeah.
Can you hear me now, Chair?
Much better.
Okay, yes. I did say that my video may not be sustained by my network. But the two questions that you were asking me, Chair, the first one is the issue of, which relates to the question on the Lesfas administration and so on. I think that I have to comment on this, Chair. It's fair, the questions that we are asking as to whether the new board and CEO, they think the administration went okay or not. Let me answer this quite frankly. you know, to actually say that there's lots of positive things that the administrator did. I will just mention a few that really I would even regard as game changers. The first thing that the administrator did was to manage to have NSFAS applicants being told whether they qualify for NSFAS or not before they go to register.
I've lost the minister.
Minister, we have lost you.
At an institution.
Minister.
That's how that the problem was. That students go and register, they get accepted, and then they wait for NSFAS to indicate whether they will get money. I think that was positive. Lots of stuff.
Chair,
The network, your network minister is
can you hear me?
Minister, your network is failing you.
There's some difference. I'm trying to move around work.
All right, try.
Okay. I'm trying to walk out, try and find another place. I don't know whether that's just...
Maybe if you stop right there.
You can hear me, but not much. But...
Yeah, okay, you can proceed now.
Yeah, I'm saying they were quite... I was mentioning that... There are quite a few very critical things that the administrator turned around at NSFAS. One of those main things was ability to inform students that they've been given or not given NSFAS before they go to register. That was a very big, big, big achievement by the administrator, because before, students would go to a university or college, they get accepted, but they don't know whether NSFAS is accepting them or not. And that used to cause lots of strikes at the beginning of each academic year. So we can't look at that. That was a big achievement, which is related to another achievement, because we had changed sometime not earlier as government to model. In other words, students applied directly to NSFAS instead of applying through financial aid offices. Because I had also, in my earlier stint as Minister of Education and Training, have found that there was a lot of corruption in the awarding of NSFAS in some institutions. In some institutions, it was being sold. And that was out of an investigation that I had authorized that was actually done. So that was the second thing, that the administrator laid a strong foundation for a student-centered model. So we can't overlook that. Now, the other kinds of problems that are facing NSFAS, they are of a different order. Some of the decisions and functionality of NSFAS depends on the capacity of institutions to supply information to NSFAS, not to NSFAS as an institution per se. I think also it's only fair that we say that. That is why with TVET College students, most of whom did not have capacity to mention I authorized the administrator to employ someone temporarily who was going to assist TVET colleges to deal with capacity. Even in my university, there were always problems of not providing information on time for transfer of money, passed or not, to as possible. Students now did not have to apply each year they want to get as they proceed in the system. It's only first-year students now who apply. That was the change brought about by the administrator. Students who are continuing to apply, all they've got to prove is that they're possible to give them money. Overlook that whatever other problems were there, that the administrator did turn around NSFAS in some crucial areas. Now, there were other areas that, as I say, were as a result of lack of institutional capacity. Now, the Auditor General has identified further weaknesses, which we'll have to accept as the Auditor General, our respect to Chapter 9 or Chapter 10 institutions. We'll accept that. I have said to the new board and the new CEO, go and come up with a system to address these weaknesses. Some of them, of course, came from the era of administration, but find a way of actually addressing these problems. I do worry when we want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Because there were challenges facing the administrator, therefore, administration was a failure. These changes I'm talking about have actually helped us. So that would be my response to that. That yes, the Auditor General has identified some serious weaknesses, and those weaknesses have got to actually be addressed. And also, Chair, what I've agreed with the NSFAS board and the CEO is that whatever other problems have been identified, including the problems identified by the portfolio committee, go and investigate those, all those matters, and come back to report to me, and of course also to the portfolio committee, and SCOPA also if necessary at some stage, to go deeper into these problems. I thought I needed to address that frankly and openly. Now, you are then, Chair, also asking me the question of the transition, that's the word you use, from high school, say, or from school, to actually accessing NSFAS. I've already addressed that there has been this improvement. But there are still challenges that we are facing now, this year in particular, that I want to start with those changes. That there has, in the past, there was improvement during the period of administration. Students would know beforehand. The problem we are having this year is this one. Maybe let me not start with the problem. This year, we have already announced yesterday that all continuing NSFAS students are going to be funded if they have met the academic criteria. Now, that's the overwhelming majority of the students who are continuing. The challenge we have is that we do not have adequate funds as yet for first-year students. We didn't say there are no funds whatsoever. We don't have adequate funds for a number of reasons, Chair. First of all, it's the budget cuts, which, by the way, started even before COVID. And we have not been spared as the Department of Higher Education and Training from the budget cuts. But also COVID contributed a lot. In what way? For instance, we have had an extended academic year that for about half of our institutions have finished now in March. And we did not stop paying the stipends for students, the allowances, when they were not attending when we have lockdown. The reason for that, I was not trying to be Father Christmas, is that because some of the students will have to go and collect their material at certain central points for those who do not have connectivity. They must have money at least to travel, to have lunch on their way, whatever they are doing. That's why we didn't get away there. But we went to Treasury to ask for extra money. We did not get it for the extended academic year. That is the problem that we are faced with now. The other problem that we are faced with is that students who come from families who could afford to pay before have gone down because some of those students have had their parents retrenched or their business is collapsing. And this has increased the demand, especially also for first-time entry students who are actually going in. Another matter is that there's been a huge increase in the applications for NSFAS. In a way, government, we are being victims of our own success. For instance, more than 66% of the applicants of NSFAS CPS who have been receiving a child grant, getting students who are passing or who have got the potential to pass to go to university and go to colleges. Those are the things that have contributed to this. Now, Cabinet is dealing with this matter tomorrow. I said that in my press conference yesterday. And in Cabinet, discussion is going to be guided by what the Minister of Finance said in his budget speech, that no student who actually is deserving is going to be excluded if that student meets the academic criteria. So we are hoping that Cabinet is going to deal with this matter tomorrow of now first-time entrants within the framework as announced. But I can't now speak for Cabinet. All I promise is that the Cabinet decision, I will be communicating its implications either on Thursday or Friday. But what we have done in the meantime, Chair, we have asked the universities to extend the registration by 2 weeks so that your NSFAS students do not get compromised. All the universities, I spoke to the Vice Chancellors yesterday, they agreed with me. The other positive news also is that I said to the Vice Chancellor, you know what percentage of NSFAS students you are going to be admitting. Admit them. Don't say it because there's still not clarity on whether they get money. Then you start closing those positions by taking other students who can afford to pay for themselves. We must protect those spaces. They also agree that they are going to actually protect those particular places. That is the challenge that we are facing now. Also raise another, which you may think is maybe politically incorrect, Chair, but I have to tell Scopa the truth and nothing but the truth. One of the difficulties facing NSFAS till treatment of this new bursary is on the 16th of December 2017, 10 days in January 2018, was totally that announcement to say we are moving on to a new scheme, 14 days before it had to start to be implemented, messed NSFAS big time, exposed the extent to which NSFAS didn't have a system, increasing the numbers of NSFAS beneficiaries. And what was worse with that decision, it even ignored the work that was done by the HEHA Commission and the transitional measures. That's why we have agreed with Treasury now that we will go back to the HEHA Commission. But also already that has partly been done because what I haven't said is that I appointed late last year a committee that I gave 6 months, a ministerial task team to review the systems and functionality of NSFAS. They have already given me a preliminary report, which looks very good, which, by the way, identifies A lot of these things that you yourself as members of SCOPA have identified, and also what the Auditor General has also identified, including these matters that I'm saying. They will be finalizing this report hopefully before the end of March, and I will be going to the portfolio committee. I wouldn't have a problem over also the issue that you actually normally raise. So those are the issues now. I am looking forward to getting this report and beginning then to work with the new board to implement its recommendations. So, Chair, if I'm not mistaken, these are the issues that you had asked me to address and to say, oh yeah, let me also talk about this old IT system. I agree with you, Chair, and the sentiment of some of the members, that that old IT system, we should not have continued with it for such a long time. I remember I'm the one who approved close to 100 million rand around 2010 as Minister of Higher Education and Training for this system to be there. It seems to be working initially, but it actually soon got overtaken and worsened by that 2017 announcement. That system seriously exposed. The fact that now NSFAS has decided to give notice has a lot to do with, I had already said to the administrator, we need to find a new system and actually leave this old system. The fact that we are paying 3 million for something that is not functional is indeed outrageous, Chair. I do agree with you there. It's valid. That is why now I would like to see next one. It's good they've given notice wanting to do this area, because last year I said to the administrator, I would not like though that you decide for an incoming board and an incoming CEO and you go and get them a system and the new CEO to come in so that they are the ones who are in charge of acquiring new systems to be able to place NSFAS. The other thing I delayed the administrator is because I was having this, because I said we can't write what the system is going to say about the systems. But nevertheless, NSFAS, I welcome that because I said we have to find a system that the old system has been given notice. Unless you have got other issues, Chair, that you would like me to answer, I hope that all the members and yourself, Chair, you did hear me now. Thank you very much.
No, Minister, we heard you. Is the DG back on?
Yes, Chair, I'm back.
All right, let's go to the DG, and then I will make a few proposals, colleagues, and then we will call it a wrap, give the minister an opportunity for what he called concluding remarks. He was responding to questions now. DG, over to you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Good evening, Minister. I think the minister has actually responded to the issues quite substantially. Ours is always to ensure that we give the adequate support to the incumbents at NSFAS so that they can be able to be provided with all the necessary tools and mechanisms for them to be able to execute their duties as prescribed in terms of the legislation and the policy. And often time and again, if there are issues that we need to actually get in and lend support, quite amicable, because you won't interfere in the processes in the presence of incumbents. You give that support, so we work collaboratively, and if there are things that would be lagging behind from institutions, we get in to give that support. So the new board as well as the management in there is actually guaranteed of our support and in every manner and area where it is required, so that you are able to fulfill the responsibilities of the entity. Otherwise, the minister has articulated the issues and the manner of approach, both at the present moment and the historic. And of course, as honorable members were engaging, it was one of the areas that have been quite a challenge, is the question of business processes, which we identified as a department when we undertook a scan of the challenges in there, when things were actually not working well at that time. That is an area that requires adequate attention by the incumbents in there and lended the support which is actually required. And the honorable members would perhaps recall that even in the advent of the coming in of the administrator, we mobilized support and requested, you know, some institutions that had capacity to second officials to go in there and undertake work, of course, through the process that was quite collaboratively and embraced by NSFAS at that particular point in time. So our support is always guaranteed. Thank you very much, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, DJ. Right. Colleagues, I, for the very keen appreciation of the reality that the CEO is new and the accounting authority is new. So they, I'm sure, have got a clear understanding now in terms of our expectations that things need to be turned around and improved for the better. The minister speaks, the panel, of course, the ministerial panel, will be concluding its report. And once the portfolio committee receives it, we will collaborate with them on that front, on the issues related to financial management, so that things are done. So let's not duplicate activities. Maybe, but I will end off where I started. The Skills Fund has got a disclaimer, and as far as it's got a qualified audit opinion. Minister, we are going to, I'm not sure whether you heard when we started, we are going to process the NSFAS, I mean the Skills Fund annual report. I want to place them in the same basket insofar as the seriousness is concerned. And one of the things that I was saying is the list of things which were cited to us, which were in dispute between the AEG and the Skills Fund, is a very long list of things. And I doubt that all of them would be in dispute. I pretty much doubt that. And the fact that we are settled with the dispute, as far as I'm concerned, is in itself problematic. And may actually be an indicator of the extent of the problems in that space. You know, National Treasury had an issue with the AG and they did not submit on time. It was one matter. The year before we dealt with the water and sanitation entity, it was one matter. I think it's the first time I have heard of such a long list of areas where there is a dispute. And if that's what draws my attention, and I'm sure that of colleagues as well, to this dispute. And so I think, Minister, if you had instituted a panel into NSFAS, either a panel or a forensic investigation into the skills fund, even before we deal with this annual report. Because if it's in dispute, I doubt that the responses we receive will be genuine, because they will not be in agreement with the outcome. And I don't think the AG willy-nilly gives a disclaimer. It's a very big and difficult decision. So I think, Minister, you can begin applying your mind along those lines. And I'm sure once we have dealt with it, we will probably give the final direction or directive. But I think we can somewhere assume that's where we want to go, so that we don't let things slide. So I just wanted to draw the minister's attention to that has to be a matter we consider. On NSFAS, colleagues, I think that the issues are very long, and we have not even exhausted all of them today. But I think from what we have heard is that we probably do need to have a working visit, oversight visit to NSFAS as a matter of urgency, so that we can look at things there and make informed decisions. I think our boots on the ground oversight to the respective workstations of officials has been very good and has helped to empower Parliament and strengthen oversight. So I think that's important. So I think let us consider that as well. And whilst I appreciate, Minister, what you say about the success stories of the period of administration, it's the audit raised matters which are of particular interest to us, and those are why we are speaking in the way that we are. If there was anything achieved, that's good. Our focus is on the things that were not. And I think we will have to widen our scope on this oversight, given the critical importance of NSFAS. So I think, colleagues, we can for today bring it to an end there, because we've gotten a sense of where things are at this point. And also give the CEO and the board an opportunity to reflect on these matters and to attend to them. And then we will meet again in the second term of Parliament, sometime in June, on these issues. But in the interim, we will, of course, make a preliminary report and also schedule this oversight visit. And ultimately, of course, Minister, will await the cabinet decisions tomorrow on the Treasury-related matters, because I addressed them and as members have raised them, and as the public is fundamentally concerned about this as well, which is causing a great deal of anxiety, including but not limited to court cases, so that clarity can be provided. And of course, ours, Minister, is that the money that will be provided by National Treasury and government must be administered correctly. And so hence, we are harping on the restoration of systems at NSFAS to make sure that the the entity function, so that that money lands in a system which is anchored in integrity. For those who may have an interest as to why we'd be dealing with this, the movement of public funds is our interest. So I think we can leave it at that. Minister, you had wanted to make attempted concluding remarks, having answered the questions. So we will be in communication. So first I'll give you a few minutes and then we will call it a night.
Thank you, Chair. I'll take only a minute, really. Thank you very much for your kind consideration. All what I want to say, Chair, is that I do have confidence in the board and the CEO of NSFAS. But, of course, having confidence does not mean that I'm not going to be watching them very closely, that they are doing work. I also welcome the fact that yourself, as COPA, you are going to be closer to the situation. But I do have confidence in this team, and I'm glad also they've seen it fit that they themselves on their own will go deep right into the issues so that they are fully appraised of all the complexities so that they are able to deal with them. Thank you very much for this opportunity, Chair, and to all the honorable members. Siyabonga.
Okay. No, Minister, thank you. We'll be in touch on the Skills Fund hearing, and then we will take it from there. Colleagues, are you fine? Is there anything else?
Oh, sorry, Chair. Maybe with your permission, yeah, well, I should have said this. No, I do take account of what you said about the National Skills Fund. On my side, I am looking forward to your own perusal and close examination of the National Skills Fund, because myself, I am concerned about a display from this fund. So I heard you what you said, and I'm in agreement with you that it's something that also you would like to look closely at. I will cooperate with you as much as possible. Thank you very much.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Minister. Colleagues, are you fine?
Okay.
All right. Tomorrow, 9:30, Danelle. Unless you are saying before we start at 10, 9:30?
Can you start at 10, Chair, tomorrow, please?
I would agree. 10 would be great.
All right, now let me be a benevolent dictator. 10 o'clock, Mr. Dombi, would Ben please advise Danelle and DPE that we will start at 10 in the morning. So in any case, the House sits at 3 tomorrow, so I don't think there's any harm given this late finish. And we had a busy morning with Transnet this morning as well. So it has been a packed day for us. Usually these graveyard sessions take place on Wednesday when we don't have anything the next day. So I think on account of that, let's have a 10 o'clock start tomorrow morning. And then thank you very much, Minister, DG and the department, the board of NSFAS and CEO, and to the National Skills Fund, whom we'll be meeting shortly. National Treasury as well, thank you very much for being here, and our strategic partners in the SIU and the AG as well. These matters will be brought to a conclusion only once we have received the upcoming determinations and decisions, and when we have gone to NSFAS amongst others. So colleagues, thank you very much for another long day, a productive day. So have a good night ahead, and we'll meet tomorrow morning fresh and sound with the now at 10. On that note, the meeting stands adjourned. Good night.
Good night, colleagues.